Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Let's open with a word of prayer. Lord, it is good to be with your people. It is good to be able to pray. And Lord, we know that prayer is more doing than it is trying to analyze how and all, just to talk to you and just to turn things over to you. And Lord, today we have another example of a man of prayer, a man of action, and that of Nehemiah. And Lord, help us to understand this prayer and to also see the difference between praying in the Old Covenant and praying in the New Covenant, Lord. And so guide us now, O great Jehovah, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, last time we met, we had Nehemiah's first prayer. There's three prayers, as you know, in the book of Nehemiah. One when he was a cupbearer, one when he was a builder, as he is today, and next time we'll have one when he's governor. But the prayer today is one of coming against the enemy. When the enemy comes in like a flood, what do? You pray, right? That's what he did. And so one thing I want to focus on today is that I don't think this necessarily is the way we should pray, the way Nehemiah is praying to this extent. He's basically praying the way David prayed in his imprecatory psalm, break their teeth, smash them in the mouth kind of a thing. And is that what Jesus did, particularly when he was being nailed to the cross? What did he say? Did he come against his enemies and reproach them and tell the Lord to turn this reproach on their head and not to blot out their sin? No, he said what? Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And the way I justify this, or the way I, in my little mind, bring these two differences together is that we're to pray not evil for the person, but to pray for the evil person, to turn that evil person over to the Lord and let the Lord deal with him. And let not the enemy stop the work that you're trying to do, that you want to do, but recognize that that's the purpose of the enemy, is to stop the work. Well, today we're in the fourth chapter of the book of Nehemiah. And as you remember, the last time we met a week ago, we prayed the prayer that is first recorded in this book. And this is when Nehemiah was in the presence of the king in Babylon. And he was the cupbearer for the king, as you know. And he heard of the report from Jerusalem that it was a very demoralized situation. The walls had not been rebuilt, and it was just a kind of a mess. And he grieved over this. And apparently he prayed over several months before he came to Jerusalem. And so the wall building is a very short time. He did it in 52 days, but he had a lot of prayer before. And I think we mentioned that last week, how important it is to prepare with prayer rather than go just say without prayer, well, I'll build the wall right away, and then you won't get it done because there's too much resistance, too much of an enemy. So he prayed. He came to Jerusalem. He viewed the wall. He got a plan into action, and he got the people to work. And initially, there were apparently only two real people opposing him. That was Sanballat and Tobiah. But now we'll see in today's study that that number grows. We get Geshem, the Arab, in there, and we finally have all of the enemies coming against them, the Ammonites, the Ashdodites, the Arabs, and the Samaritans, and even the Samaritan army, it says. So now this resistance group has grown from just a couple of voices to kind of a mighty force here. And so it's a force to be reckoned with, really. And we see in verse 1 of chapter 4, when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he was furious and very indignant and mocked. That's always what Satan will do. He will be indignant. He will mock. He will cause others to come against you, mocking you and trying to belittle you and with threats that would cause you to give up. And he says, who are these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they complete in a day? Will they revive the stones from the heaps of rubble? And, of course, all of these were good questions because it's a tough job, big job, isn't it? We talked last week about working. Well, at least in the book of Zechariah, we talk about they were working for months and years on rebuilding the temple, and it didn't seem they were getting anywhere because the rubble was still so high. So here we have now Tobiah the Ammonite beside him and said, whatever they build, even if a fox goes up on it, he'll break their stone wall down. And so just even a fox will cause this to come down. And so what does Nehemiah do? Does he quit? No. Does he complain? No. Does he say, well, we're going to call this off and go petition the government and wait until a law gets passed saying we can build it? No. He prays. And that's what we should do. We should pray. So this is a great example of a man of action turning to prayer in face of opposition by the enemy. And here is his prayer, again, a great address, Hear, O our God. We're praying to the right God here, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he makes it very short, only 52 words in this prayer. Hear, same number of days, I guess. I don't know if that means anything. But Hear, O our God, for we are despised. You ever feel despised when you're out there working for the Lord or talking for the Lord? And then here is the prayer, turn their reproach on their own heads. In other words, what they're meaning for evil, turn it to good. Okay, Lord, would you handle it? Turn their reproach on their head. Give them plunder to a land of captivity, not us. give them the plunder as plunder. And don't let this take delivery over us, so to speak. And now it's kind of a harsh couple of prayers here. Do not cover their iniquity, and do not let their sin be blotted out from before you. So that's pretty harsh. And again, I don't recommend that's the way Jesus taught us to pray, was to pray evil for the people. And I don't really think that's really the prayer here. I think the prayer here is he's turning it over to the Lord, but he's saying, these are the things that are coming against you, Lord. They're really not hurting me in a sense. That's not what I'm praying. I'm praying they're coming against you, because the very next phrase and the last phrase of that prayer, for they have provoked you to anger before the builders. So we don't pray evil on the people, but we turn it over to the Lord and say, Lord, have your own way. You take care of this. So now the prayer has been made. So they go to work. Now, is that what you do when you finish your prayer? Now, in a sense, we've turned it over to the Lord, so we don't want to be worrying and carrying the burden anymore. But that doesn't mean we just stop everything. Okay, Lord, I prayed. Now, I'll just sit here and watch you build the wall. Because, no, he's got things for us to do. And here's what they did. So we built the wall, and the entire wall was joined up half its height, for the people had a mind to work. So this is exciting. They're moving forward. They got the wall half built already now as this moves forward. How long this was, we don't know. But they finished the whole thing in 52 days, so this is moving pretty quickly, isn't it? But now more resistance. Now the group grows. Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonite, the Ashdodites. They heard the walls were being restored, and they became very angry. And all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. Is that not typical? Here you have, let's say you're out spreading the gospel. Is the gospel harming the people? Is the gospel really hurting the people? Is it really something bad that's happening that they've got to eliminate you? No. But they first will complain, and then they'll come against you. And as this says, they'll even kill you if that's what it takes to shut you up, isn't it? Isn't that what happened? Look at the book of Acts. That's where it goes, isn't it? Reproach, persecution, even death at times. And here, this is their threat. We'll even come against you and kill you if we have to. But nevertheless, we made our prayer. Now, this is a group prayer now, right? We made our prayer. This is not just Nehemiah praying at this point. The prayers aren't recorded, but we prayed. We made our prayer to God, and because of them, then what did we do? We set a watch against them day and night. So notice, prayer, work, prayer, watch. There's watch and pray, right? There's feet to the prayer, so to speak, here that needs to happen, and it is happening. So we set a watch against them day and night. Now notice how discouragement sets in, and whenever you're in a big job, last week we said if your vision isn't big enough to require God to do it, your vision isn't big enough. Now here's a big vision. Here's a big vision, because this takes a lot of work, and it's a lot of enemies. And what happens in verse 10? the strength of the laborers is failing. So now we're getting tired, and our workers are getting tired. And, hey, it's time to stop. It's time to take, you know, maybe a sabbatical now. You know, we've been working for a couple of weeks. I think we've got to take 6 months off and recuperate, right? Is that the way you not feel at times? But the strength of the laborers is failing. There's so much rubbish, we're not able to build a wall. I mean, this is a huge job, a huge job. And our adversary said, they will neither know nor see anything till we come into your midst and kill you and cause the work to cease. So you're tired and the enemy comes in like a flood. Does that ever hit you? Does that ever happen? Sure it does. It happens all the time to us. Now, if you don't want that to happen, just don't do anything for the Lord. And you won't have the enemy coming in like a flood, right? You won't do what you're supposed to do either, are you? From that place they will turn, they will be upon us, is what it was happening there. And listen to this, verse 12. So it was when the Jews who dwelt near them that they told us 10 times. Isn't that amazing? The enemy doesn't shut up. He keeps coming, keeps coming, keeps coming. 10 times here it says, they told him, we're going to wipe you out. We're going to wipe you out. We're going to wipe you out. Again, typical plan of Satan. Just keep after it. You know, I've heard the missionaries say at times the two words that Satan always uses on the mission field primarily is go home. Go home. And one missionary was preaching on this one day, and he said his first 3 years, he didn't know how many times it was that he heard that, but it was several times a day. And so I'm thinking, several times a day for 1,000 days, that's several thousand times. So later I asked him, I said, do you really think it was several thousand times he told you? He says it was more than that. Just always go home, go home, go home. What are you doing here? You're not doing here. This is not the call of God. Look, everything around you is not working. Go home. So stop the building. Stop the building 10 times. Therefore, I positioned men before the lower wall at the openings. And so where the wall was high, they stood in front of the wall to keep them from coming and throwing rocks over them or whatever. But where the wall was low, then they hid behind the wall for a little bit of protection, but they could still see, right? And so they've got the watchman there, and now they set up with the spear, with a sword in one hand and a trowel in the other hand, so to speak, and they continue to work. So the net result of this, the wall goes up, and it goes up in 52 days, which is totally amazing, right? Father, we thank you for this prayer, a prayer of example of what we should do when we're doing your work, Lord, and the enemy comes in like a flood, which it always will. And we need to pray and work. We need to pray and watch. We need to pray and turning it over to you and say, Lord, you handle it. You take care of it. I can't. I want to wipe out the enemy with my own hands. And Lord, that is not your approach. The approach is turn the battle over to you. The battle belongs to you. And Lord, you take care of them. You're just, you're righteous. Lord, may my job be to love and your job be to judge and not the other way around, Lord. So help us in this, Lord, to be men and women of prayer, to be men and women of action. And when we get really weary, Lord, we just go back to you and back to being empowered by your Spirit. You shall receive power when the Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Lord, we want to cling to your promises and stand on your promises. Thank you for the power of prayer. Thank you for the opportunity to pray. And once again this morning, Lord, we're gathered here to pray. So lead us now by your Spirit as we would pray in one accord. In Jesus' name.